hard spun, 6 furlongs, 111 flat. So now this is the final furlong. Mario Pino. Mario Pino. And he wins going away.
This is In the Room with Sean Clancy.
I'm Sean Clancy, and I'm in the room with jockey Mario Pino. The 59-year-old Delaware native stands tall as the 10th leading jockey in the history of the sport, with 6,961 career wins for $130 million in earnings. Good morning, Mario. Glad to have you on the show.
Good morning, Sean. Thank you.
Where are you? What are you doing? I mean, I know you take the winter off. You getting on horses, gearing up for your spring return, or what's your status?
Yes, a matter of fact, it's the last 2 weeks. I've been getting on horses like every time they have breezes on the turf at Palm Meadows Training Center. And, just trying to get back now and breezed about 8 horses so far. And just getting my feet wet right now. Yep.
So does it come naturally? I mean, you come back to you pretty easily. I mean, I know you take some time off. You haven't ridden since the fall. But, I mean, coming back and working horses, is it just like the same old thing?
Yeah, it's like, Sean, it's like they said, riding a bike, you know. I get over there, might be off, might be not on a horse for 5 months, throw me up and go, and it's like natural, you know.
Wow.
You know, since you've grown up around horses like you and started when you were young and you know, it's like I said, it's like riding a bike. You know, there's no big deal. And the other thing is I love it, too. So that's a big thing, too, if you love something. And I love getting on horses, and I love the horses. And, you know, it makes me feel good. It makes me who I am, you know, when I'm getting on the horses.
Oh, that's brilliant. And your plan is to go back to Presque Isle Downs in the spring?
Yeah, Sean, I'm playing by year, you know. It's they reduced the dates there, you know, 50 days again this year. And kind of like up in the air if I'm going to head back there. But that's my plan so far. But it could change, you know. And like I said, I'm just going to play it by year.
And the other option would be Mid-Atlantic, obviously Delaware, Maryland, or you know, like, where you've made your stomping grounds.
Yeah, no, I live in Florida now. I've been here, like, living here for 7 years. And if I can just get back in maybe in March in Gulfstream and just pick through, you know, some winners there. And, you know, my life is like, do I stop? Do I keep going? I'm like in that middle, I'm like in that fine line right now. And it's a great story. That's Palm Meadows a week ago. And I was talking to Wesley Ward. That's the only guy I really get on horses for. So I said to Wesley, he called me and said, you want to try to get back? I said, yeah. I said, it's a little early, but yeah, I'll come help you. So I got on 2 horses and I told him the situation that I want to try to win 7,000 races. And I said, well, I don't know if I want to push myself to do it. And he looked at me and goes, are you crazy? You're only 39 wins away. You have to go for it. It's just, you know, you just can't sit there and let that go by. And I'm like, you know what I mean? But it is... it's something you have to push yourself to do. You know, it's not an easy thing. You know, 39 doesn't sound a lot, but it is on my schedule. You know, which is, you know, I mean, I'm riding 5 months a year. You know what I mean? So it's kind of tough. So right now, you know, he says if I would stay here, I, you know, can ride all his horses here, and you know, that's a big help. Like I said, I'm just going to play it by ear, Sean.
Get him to send a string to Presque Isle. Come on.
You know what? I said that to him. I said that. I said, Wes, you got all these Capito horses running at Turfway, turf horses. You go up there, you know, put some horses up there. I'll definitely go up there if you send, you know, 15 or whatever you can go up there with. But he just said it's just hard to get there and the help and all that. You never know. You never know.
Yeah, for you at this stage of your career, what is the motivation to getting to that 7,000? Is that really the motivation to keep on striving toward it? I know you enjoy it.
Yep, you're right, Sean. You know, I can't imagine myself not riding. So, but there'll be a day soon, you know. But I would like to get 7,000. And if I feel that would be a great place to stop for me at 7,000. You know what I mean?
Sure.
And
sure.
Nine, like you said, like I said, it's not easy to get 39, but it's reachable. And, you know, I probably could have been well past seven if I didn't take these 5 or 6 months off for the last 7 or 8 years. Probably would have gone past that. But that's the way I played the game. You know, so I did it like my way kind of thing. And it's worked out.
Oh, for sure. You don't get to the numbers that you've gotten to playing it by somebody else's rules. I mean, you have to do it the way you need to do it. I think it keeps you fresh, and I can hear it in your voice every spring when you're, you know, gearing up to ride again. I think that means a lot to have that time away from it and get going again.
Exactly. It keeps you motivated and keeps on wanting you to come back. You know, you get that hunger back to come back and ride. And and sometimes when you're going all year, you kind of get a little, you know, when you get later in years, you get a little like, oh, we got to go out and do it again. Oh, I got to do it again. I got to go again. You know, now doing it like I am doing it, I enjoy going, you know, do it. It has me like pushes myself. And, you know, I like getting on the horses and feeling and just, you know, like you would know, you're on horses, you feel that power you have underneath you, and it's like a great feeling. And when I do stop, I'm going to really miss probably that the most.
For sure. That's what people ask me, what I miss the most, and I just miss riding the horses. You know, you just certainly always miss winning a race, that thrill of when you cross the wire and you win a race, but ultimately I just miss getting on those horses. You know, the really good horse, that moment they step, you know, you get a leg up and they're going to blend their shoulder, bow their neck and blend their shoulder into the walk, and you think, whoa, wow, what is this?
Wow, I know. It's just a feeling that, like, you and me felt that feeling in most jockeys or, you know, wherever ridden before, that power they feel, and that, you know, that never goes away.
No, no question. Well, how have you stood the test of time? Is it dedication, determination, nutrition, schedule, luck? What is the equation that created this kind of career?
You know, Sean, it's been, I think about it. I kind of got lucky the way I did this in my career, because most guys can't take all 5-6 months to try to come back and ride. And I've been fortunate to come back and get on horses and ride for some awesome trainers, you know, Hall of Fame trainers. And I just go right to it. You know what I mean? And it's a gift, I think, from God. And I, like I said, I keep myself in shape too. And I try to keep my weight down. And I think that me trying to work out all the time and keep myself motivated and my diet and all that, I kind of like, it helps me to prolong my career. You know what I mean? I never get where I have to work really hard to get back. And I think that's helped me in the long run. And like I said, you know, I have great people that I can come back and ride for. So That's a plus. You know, like I said, I can go to Wesley Barn there and get on horses, and he'll say, "You want to ride next week?" I said, "Next week? I just got here." "I'll put you on this one next week." And I'm like, "Well, give me time to get going." You know what I mean? So, you know, it's a good thing that he has confidence in me, and other trainers too that I rode for over the years. You know, some great ones. And I've been very fortunate that way.
Take us back. I mean, talking about a good horse, Hardspun, when did you know that he was that good? Was it the moment, that first step away from the mounting block? Or, I mean, when did you say, wow, this is a different type of horse?
Yeah, I always tell this story, Sean, and I don't know if people heard it or haven't heard it. But when I got on Hardspun, when I did get on him, he walked to the track with Larry Jones, and he's, you know, and I didn't even know Larry that well at the time. I just started riding a few for him, and then I got on this 2-year-old, you know, Hardspun, beautiful horse, comes out, well-bred horse, going to the track. He said, "This is your next Derby horse." So in the back of my mind, I hear that all the time. You know, and people hear this, jockeys hear this all the time, trainers, whoever, you know, owners, whatever. And so I work them, and we go like 3/8 of a mile. And he doesn't really impress me. You know, I've been on horses that impressed me more, you know, as a two-year-old. He didn't really show that you know, like he was talking about. So one day we were working along. He was working good, but nothing special. I worked him out of the gate one day with three old horses. You know what I mean? Older horses.
Right.
So we go back to the gate to get his, you know, break him, you know, and all that. And Larry, and they come back with these three old horses. And they said, and I'm looking in the gate. I'm standing there, you know, waiting. So they said, Larry said, put them in there with him. And I go, oh, my God, please don't go with them. These are old horses. They're getting drinker cards and whatever they're doing. And so Harsh Bum was in the inside. And when they, this is at Delaware Park, and when they broke, they out, Horace Bunch stood there. He didn't break. You know, he's a two-year-old, you know, it's like his first time breaking. Or on like second or three, you know, very, he was inexperienced. But when he felt that pressure of that starting gate and them horses draw away from him, like they opened up like four or five on him right away. Now dirt's hitting him, and he just grabbed the bridle. And just took me to him like I had to go to the outside so fast because I was going to run over him.
Wow.
Down the backside. And I tipped out and I flew by him and, you know, just drew away. And it was, and that was the time my eyes were like saucers when I pulled up. Larry, too. He ran up to me with the pony and his eyes were like, oh, my God, what was that? And I said, Larry, this horse, that was unbelievable. And that was the day that after that, he was breezing like a great horse.
Wow.
You know what I mean? I mean, I have never been on, I've been on some really good horses, but that day as a two-year-old, what he was doing was just incredible. And like I said, the first time he went to the paddock at Delaware Park, he come in there like a five-year-old.
Wow.
You know what I mean? He was blew up like a balloon. There were little teeny horses. And here he is, this, and he wasn't a really big horse, but he just blew himself up. He knew what he was doing. And just, you know, it's history after that. I mean, he was
for sure
an incredible horse.
Describe the feeling turning for home at the Kentucky Derby in the bounce. I mean, I certainly probably thought you were going to win it. I mean, what's that like?
Oh, yeah. So and that was like, well, actually, I thought when I come to the quarter pole, I was still kind of like thinking I still have some horse. And I did. I had, right. You know, I know he kind of went a little fast early because he made it kind of an easy front. And just cruising along, I didn't want to take nothing out of his stride because he was kind of a horse that he was kind of a free-running horse. He just liked to just get going. And you kind of just dropped your hands down and let him just float along, and he just keep giving, you know what I mean? If you kind of restrained him, he didn't have the same finish, you know what I mean? You know what I mean? So anyway.
Sure.
I let him just float and float and float. And I said, man, I tipped for home. And I kind of felt like I had horse. And I, talking about the sound of the crowd, you know, I really don't never hear the crowd. I never do. You know what I mean? In a race, I never hear people hollering, you know, you're running. But this time I really did. When I turned for home straight away, it was like I was hitting this sound barrier. It was, you know, it was just like going through my ears. And I said, God, I still have some horse. And soon as I felt that, here comes the one horse past me. But it was all good, and he ran good that day, and it was just a joy to ride a good horse like that. And, you know, but it was all good riding him. I knew he was going to be a good sire, too, because of his bloodlines and his speed. You know, he had the natural speed, and you know, and he throws horses sprinting long turf. He does, you know, he's just an all-class horse.
And look, a lot was made about Calvin Burrell's ride, you know, getting up the rail. But don't forget, he went around you.
That's true. Larry used to say, Mario, Larry Jr. used to tell me that all the time. Mario, I know Calvin's going to try to get through on all these horses. He'll get through the field. He said, but don't let him get through you. Okay, so I was always peeking back, looking around.
Exactly.
Around the whole way, but...
He went around one horse, and that was, you know, that's a pretty good ride. So that's Mario Pino. Look, you're 39 wins away from 7,000, and all the owners and trainers out there, let's get Mario on some winners when we count it down, 39 to go. Mario, you've been a joy to watch in your career, and we're counting down the next 39. Thanks for being on the show today.
Thanks for having me on.